Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We're on your dingy country, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Interest Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. I'm going to jump straight in it, talk to the beautiful ladies from Marawa Law. We've got Michaela and Alex coming to join us. A very good morning, girls. How are we?
Good morning. We're well, thank you.
Yeah, doing good.
Fantastic harmony. That's a nice hello there, girls. I thought of being in a choir. Our topic today is census participation. It is about that time. So give us an intro to that, please, Michaela.
It's been another 5 years, and of course, just like that, it is census season again. So every 5 years, the Australian Bureau of Statistics counts every person and household in Australia, which we call the Census of Population and Housing. And this census data is then used to help plan local services for individuals like you and I,
yep,
our families and our communities all throughout Australia.
So who needs to participate in the census?
So everyone who is staying in your household on census night must be included. This does include visitors and babies.
Okay, so why is the census important?
Participating in the census is not only mandatory, it is essential, and it helps the government, businesses, researchers and non-for-profit and community organisations make informed decisions.
And why is the census important for blackfellas, for us mob?
The census is important as it informs the government the volumes and types of services needed, particularly in remote locations, but even in the city. It's where the government gets its statistics and important critical services like health, housing, schooling and those types of things. The census data can highlight areas of need in communities, which is why it's so important for our mob to get involved.
Thank you very much, Alex. So over to you, Michaela. When will the census be held?
So this year, the census will be held on Tuesday, the 10th of August. So that's next week. Mm. So you can either complete the form online or you can request a paper copy. Most households will receive a letter with instructions on how to complete the census. But if all fails, you can get some more assistance from the Australian Bureau of Statistics page, or you can contact a number 1800 130 250, which will have a 24-hour automated paper form request. With the call method, you will need your 16-digit census number from your census letter. And if you don't have a census number, you can get one through the Australian Bureau of Statistics page. So luckily, in my own personal household, mm-hmm, my dad and my mum have already filled out the form for me. So I'm quite lucky.
Okay, so it's the owner of the house or the owner of the unit or the
where
people
you are
in the unit who's got the name on the lease, so mm-hmm to speak.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's right.
That's how it works. Are there any fines if I don't participate?
Yeah, so as we said earlier, it is mandatory, so it's compulsory. So you can be fined if you refuse to complete or submit an incomplete form. And this is the penalties under the Census and Statistics Act 1905. So the Australian statistician can issue you a notice of direction, which directs you in writing to complete the census. And if you don't complete the census, you can then be prosecuted and fined up to $222 a day for not completing it.
Triple two.
Mm, yeah, per day.
Per day.
And also as well, if you provide false or misleading statements or information on your form, you can then be fined up to $2,220.
Mm. So what happens if I'm not going to be at home on census night?
So you will need to complete a form from wherever you are on census night, even if you're travelling or you're away for work. However, if no one is home, you can contact the census contact centre and let them know that you're not going to be at home. And that number is 1-800-512-441. The only time that you don't need to complete a census is if you're overseas. But for many of us with COVID on the horizon,
you can't
home
use that excuse.
You can't.
You're not overseas unless you've got your private jet at the backyard. Over to Alex, what type of assistance is available to complete the census, e.g. if I can't write or read, for example?
So there's lots of one-on-one help available to many locations across Australia where you can get help to complete your form and ask questions that you have about the census. If you're in a remote area during the census, you'll be visited by census staff and offered support to complete your form. Census staff have been visiting remote communities around Australia since July and will continue to visit until September. And you can always remember that you can call 1-800-512-441 and they can assist you. Also for MOB, if you jump online, there's lots of information about the census on the website, and there's a page just for MOB with information there, so jump on and find out.
To Deli. All right, ladies, thank you very much. So very important, and it is compulsory. You have to fill out the census, so make sure we all do that. And like I said, call that number 1-800-512-441 if you need any assistance with that. Thank you, ladies. Michaela, who's Marua Law?
Marua Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. So if you need some legal advice, you can call us on 4041-3088.
Yep, that's the team you need to call. Marua Law, represent. To Deadly, my sisters, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Good to see you both. Hello to the team there for us.
Will do.
And your reception lady there. Forget her name, but yeah, find out where she lives. To Deadly girls, thank you.
Thank you.
To Deadly, beautiful yarn there with the girls from Marua Law. And it is a census participation was the conversation. And when you say census participation, well, it is compulsory, so you need to fill it out. And like I said, it does help our MOB, helps all Australians, but especially with our MOB in the situation they're in, looking for housing or, we're talking about, I'm talking about employment or talking about education, all the above. That information collected, it helps in regard to where monies goes and funding goes to help us live a deadly life. So do your bit to fill out the census participation. Otherwise, 222. That's $222 a day. Shut your mouth. Fix yourself, correct yourself, and check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what I'm saying. Today, have you say, Jan Upstrong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My heart aches as I think of you. I'm overcome by sadness, but my heart smiles as I remember you. The most beautiful sunrise was rising as you grew your wings. You had rainbows in your hair. Rainbows in your hair. I knew this day would come, the pain it will never pass. I remember sandcastles and kites in the air. This pouring rain is draining, we watch as you crumble. Our sadness echoes everywhere. Echoes everywhere. Sometimes angels need to do their work from heaven. Although this world feels like a different place, you have touched hearts and souls from around the world. Grow your wings and fly high with the rest. We know. We know you'll make the
y'all. Miss me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from Nakari, live on First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, statement on Aboriginal death in custody. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Oxfam Australian Chief Executive Lynn Morgan and talk about this space, this ugly space in the world that we live in regarding black deaths in custody. Lynn on the line, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you. Coming to you from Wurundjeri Territory down here in Melbourne.
All right, beautiful. I'm here in your dingy country in far north Queensland. Thinking of you guys down that way and the world we live in at the moment regarding the pandemic and lockdowns and what have you. And, of course, the cold winter. Like I said, I'm sitting up here in a single pair of football shorts having a yarn with your sister.
And I've got my Ugg boots on.
Rugged up with a hot cup of coffee or something.
Yeah, that's right, and a cup of tea, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Look, talking about this very important space regarding statement on Aboriginal death in custody. So here we are, and it's not following up on Black Lives Matter with respect to our brother with us in spirit, George Floyd, but we've had black deaths in custody for so many years. I'm talking about 437 odd black deaths in custody. That in itself is a pandemic, is it not?
It certainly is. That's right. That kind of systemic structural violence occurring year after year in this country is absolutely a pandemic of its own. And I want to just start by acknowledging the families, all of the families who've lost loved ones this way. It's, yes, a terrible thing, and it is a scourge on this country and our national identity.
Mm. And so where we are, when we make the statement on Aboriginal deaths in custody, Oxfam are a great supporter in stomping this out. And we need to act on it strongly. Mm. And there is a problem here and we need to fix it.
That's right. So Oxfam Australia, we're committed to truth-telling in this country as a part of our commitment to justice for the people in this country. A part of that is making sure that we are part of a louder and broader voice to say that these things cannot be allowed to continue. And, in fact, we know that this is a matter that's got worse over the years, worse year on year. So, you know, in 30 years, we've had nearly, 450 deaths.
Yes.
And scarcely none of them have led to proper conviction. I think lately we might have seen a change to that figure, but, the fact is it's evidence of a broader systemic racism, and Oxfam is committed to justice for First People in this country, so acknowledging this terrible toll and recognising the impact that it has on communities and families ongoing every day, every week, every month is part of that process of, letting people know that more action is required.
Well, then when you look at 450 deaths, so there's got to be, a leakage or negligence happening in that space. So with anything else out there in society, we fix up that negligence, either new staff or new format or, punish the people who are negligent, do we not?
Well, this is, that's right. And this is the worst in the world. This is the rate.
Not a trophy we want. Not a trophy Australia wants.
No, that's right. You know, the rate of incarceration of First Nations people in this country is the worst in the world. That's why an organisation like Oxfam can't stand by and allow it to be that we don't fix this. We know how to fix it. We need to raise the age at which people can be put into these settings, and we need to address the structural racism that allows people to be treated in a way that so threatens their safety that they die.
And we're talking about our people, men, women, children being arrested, but we're talking minor offences here. which is not a death sentence. So why are they dying?
That's right. And, you know, this is where we can learn from the rest of the world, you know, that we do know that the way we undertake policing, the way we allow our laws to be used are such that we create the conditions in which this happens. So we can change that.
Yes.
And, you know, as the First Nations leadership of this country have been saying forever, you know, we need to take seriously every time we lose another human soul, we need to ask ourselves what we are doing to change this. And the answer is not enough. Nowhere near
enough. Yes. And we're talking human rights issue here, aren't we? You've got a right to live, you know?
That's right.
And like for minor offence, that's your death sentence. This is the 21st century. This has got to change.
Yeah. And we know, and this is why, you know, organisations like ours and others are clear. You know, we know what needs to happen. There needs to be change. There needs to be legislative change so that we are not incarcerating young people. We have to address that problem, and it is within reach to address it. Every one of the states and territories just needs to step up and make sure that we make that change. And there are other things, of course, we can do around the way in which, you know, policing is undertaken and the way in which the sentencing and the courts are working to produce this outcome. But to do that, we have to be clear it's not okay and it's got to change. You know?
Well, exactly.
That's
exactly.
The starting point, isn't it?
But when you're looking about 450, well, when you're talking about 450-odd deaths, you know, we're talking about what has happened here, like I said, negligence or what have you, and there's no convictions of this. Not 450-odd people were in incarceration or in custody with ill health. You know, there's got to be something wrong here. And so, if 450 people, well, you might find 220 were ill and in a bad health state. Well, what about the other 260, whatever, negligence? We're looking at murder, if not some sort of conviction.
Well, we know from the healthcare system as well that, you know, the sort of neglect that comes with racism within a system does cost people their lives. And this is the problem. We have inbuilt racism within the systems that are our laws, are our courts, are our police. And similarly in our health system, and as a result, we get these terrible, terrible consequences. But we need to look back up the chain of the ways in which people's needs are not seen, they're not heard, not understood, they're not supported, there's not recognition of culture or language. You know, these are the things that have to change. And we can look around the world because there are places where changes have been made and they've managed to reduce these terrible statistics.
Well, exactly. Well, if you're an officer, but you're not a doctor, so you don't know the medical education, especially on that individual that you got in custody. But there's got to be a process in place where you can then protect this person in custody so it doesn't lead to death, you know, and then then your name's on the so-called list of potential conviction, and you don't want that as an officer. You're there to do your job, and you're not there to kill anybody, you know?
No,
there's got to be
a
format, a system in place that protects all the above, both parties, whatever. So a lot of work to be done there in that space there, Lynn.
Yeah, there is a lot of work to be done, but, you know, we look at the leadership of First People in this country in so many ways, in the Change the Record Coalition, in the determined way families are holding, you know, political leaders to account for these terrible consequences. And, you know, I think think there's a force to be reckoned there. You know, people are not prepared to tolerate this. And,
exactly.
You know, I remain hopeful we will see positive change.
Yeah. Now, Oxfam Australia is a proud member of the First Peoples Led Change, the Record Coalition. Just tell the people there, Oxfam Australia, who you guys are and what do you actually do?
Yeah, so, you know, Oxfam is a global humanitarian development organisation. Here in Australia, we began as Community Aid Abroad and then joined the Oxfam Confederation, joining 20 other Oxfams around the world working to address humanitarian crises when they happen and also longer-term development needs related to the eradication of poverty. So that's how we began.
Yes.
And at Oxfam Australia now, one of our key areas of focus is justice for First People, because we recognise that First People in this country, there's unfinished business with respect to sovereignty, with respect to self-determination, and we're committed to the UN rights of Indigenous people, determination on the rights of Indigenous people. So for us, that means we have to actively support the leadership of First People in this country to achieve the things that people have been fighting for forever. And which
you're not becoming just a member, an active member at that.
Yeah, well, for us, it's about saying, you know, mainstream organisations have a role to play here too. You know, we don't. It's not from the front, because the front is First People's own work, but alongside, as a mainstream organisation, we think it's critically important that we support those efforts concretely. You know, with genuine commitment and resources, and our supporters think the same thing. You know,
the
millions of Oxfam supporters who give us money every year to work on poverty think that the situation in respect of First People in this country is unacceptable. They do. That's what we know. So that's why it's important that our voice is part of this conversation.
Well, as a First Nation man, I love your support. So Oxfam Australia, you know, thumbs up to you. And look, as I said, we are all in this together. Let's use that spiel.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Giving me some of that beautiful canned sunshine.
You take that with you, Lynn. You take that with you, Lynn, and good yarning with you, and we'll be in touch, and stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, Lynn.
Lovely. All right. Talk soon.
Take care, Dad. Bye-bye. There it is. That's Lynn Morgan, Chief Executive of Oxfam Australia, and talk about the statement on Aboriginal death in custody. Sad, but another shameful day for our nation, and we need to tackle it and have to work hard in making this happen. So add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Just wanna know what is peace. Can someone educate us all? Because all that it seems is that no one even knows what it means. I mean, I could be wrong, but society is telling me that freedom isn't actually free. I hate to say, but it's hard being black in these streets. And when we tell them, they don't wanna believe. Cause we're locked up in a system that we can't even see. Well, I guess my last song went right over your heads. Cause I was sending out a message, but the message wasn't read. Reconciliation is what we all gotta spread. So what more needs to be said for this to get in your head? It's like, if you're white, you're right. But if you're black in this country, it's an everyday fight. But for real, I just wanna know why. It's like the system that we're in is going back in the time. I'm sick and tired of the pain going on in the streets. We're trying to make a change, but they won't let us speak. There's innocent black people who were murdered by police and no one's giving up. Well, that's the way it all seems, that there's a whole lot of things that were never discussed. The media never reveals what really happens to us. But when a wombat was killed, man, they made it a fuss. But let a cop shoot a brother, they never did lock him up. How would you feel if you had a stereotype? How would you feel if the police pulled you up at night? How would you feel being judged in your everyday life? How would you feel? Nah, stuff that. How would you feel if a cop ran straight through your house and shot your son in the head and left him dying by the cash? Dragged his body outside as he was crying out loud and left your family tortured as they all surrounded now. I just want to see a change. We protest in our country to stop all the pain, but negativity still comes our way. We need to unlock the system, cause right now it's not safe, but I really do take in hand. There's a lot of white mob on this land to do as much as they can to give back, and yes, I understand. That's why I love my white folks, cause they do give a damn. Now listen, we need to look out for each other, but even better, we spread love for one another. Cause there be some days on my mind I really wonder how we gonna make a change for the way they see our color. Cause some nights I can't sleep, I just wanna make it so us indigenous people can eat. So I preach, like every day of the week, so hopefully sometime we can live our life in peace. And that's real. Every day of the week, so hopefully sometime we can live our life in peace. So why preach? Like every day of the week, so hopefully sometime we can live our life in peace.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on BBM, Bumbibrit Media, 98.7 FM. We're here on Yidinji Country. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, abuse of children continues without criminal penalty under the Victorian Mental Health Law. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the Executive Director of Citizens Commission on Human Rights Victoria. That's Miss Kim Cullen on the line. Kim, good morning, sister. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Thinking of you guys there in Victoria and the world that we live in at the moment. Hey, sis.
I tell you, it's absolutely crazy what's happening down here at the moment. And it's not just here, it's all around the country. But we're in our fifth lockdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that doesn't help for people's mental health problems neither, of course, because more people are getting anxious and feeling depressed because there's just feeling that there's nothing they can do about what's going on.
And look, it's four walls closing in. It puts a lot of pressure on people, individuals. But look, a very important conversation we're having today is the abuse of children continuing without criminal penalty under Victorian Mental Health Law. You know, when you look at the so-called fines that are on animal cruelty, $45,000 up to 12 months in imprisonment, but nothing like that for people who are abusing their children.
Yeah, absolutely. And the problem is it's not just not the Victorian Mental Health Act. It's most likely other mental health acts,
yes,
in the country as well. We just need to check this. But in Victoria, there are absolutely no penalties under the Mental Health Act for any violation of any of the things that they say, you know, that they shouldn't be doing. And this is a real concern. So it's an analogy that we're making here that, you know, we really care for our animals.
We do.
We do.
Yes.
And, you know, you can be fined and imprisoned if you harm an animal. However, under the Mental Health Act, if someone gets abused, then there's no fine or penalties for the perpetrator under that act. So this is part of what we're trying to change, Trev, is that in Victoria, we have a review of the Mental Health Act right now.
Yes.
And they're asking for submissions on the, you know, up to the 1st of August. So we want people, as many people as possible, to do a submission on that and just to protest that, you know, we really need more accountability and transparency under these Mental Health Acts so that people are protected.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're our future children and they're a precious cargo, and in regards to the effect that it has on a child, if not a physical sense, then a mental sense, spiritual, emotional, all the above.
Totally, 100%. It affects all parts of us. And then, you know, the whole family and the dynamics of the whole community as well. And I don't think people realise just how much it affects them. And there are other solutions. And those other solutions aren't used often as first resort.
Well, they call it so-called common sense, but when you look at the fines or the imprisonment for abusing a child compared to an animal, it's not common sense. It's warped. Warped way of thinking, isn't it?
It's not common sense. And, you know, personally, from what I've read of the Mental Health Act and what I've seen, there's not a lot of common sense that has been used. Like, for example, one of the things is that what we've found out is that often there is an underlying undiagnosed medical condition. So if a person has, you know, like a mental problem, you know, they're depressed or anxious, I mean, obviously it's not always that because there's, you know, people have trauma and distress and, you know, we have ups and downs in our life, right?
Yes.
However, the very first thing that should happen is find out if there's an underlying undiagnosed medical condition, because then if you've got that, right, then you can handle it right there and then. Put the person on the right medical treatment, sort them out so that they're doing well physically, and then, you know, you become better emotionally able to handle what's going on.
Yes, yes. So we're having this conversation here. Where do we go from here with the information we're collecting, and who do we take to Parliament? Do we take to universities, or how do we make this change?
Well, this is a really good question, Trev. And what we're doing at the moment, because we have a Mental Health Act review down in Victoria, people can get onto our website and they can just hop onto that, cchrvictoria.org.au, and we have a fact sheet there. And it talks about the review of the Mental Health Act, and we're asking people to do the submission because there are certain things in the Mental Health Act and they're looking at changing those. Now, like, for example, we're going to talk about shock treatment, ECT.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much time we've got here.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
All right. So basically, you know, like in the Mental Health Act, anyone under the Mental Health Act, once a person's gone to a tribunal hearing, they can be given ECT. And they're given, it's given to children. And ECT is basically the application of hundreds of volts of electricity to the head. And it induces a convulsion and it causes brain damage, permanent memory loss, stroke, death. And basically, psychiatrists don't even know how it works. For example, they keep on saying, well, it could do this or it could do that, right? And the other thing
is... Well, the people are the guinea pigs, are they not?
Man, and they've been being guinea pigs for a long, long time because we're not being given the facts on this, right? And so, like anyone, you know, pregnant women, children, the elderly in Victoria, women aged 70 to 79 were given more electroshock than any other group. So it's really, really concerning that this so-called treatment, my inverted commas, righty treatment, is being used. And it's not just Victoria.
Yes.
People got to take note. This is happening everywhere in Australia. In Western Australia, there's legislation that children under 14 can't be given electroshock.
Mm-hmm.
And in ACT, children under 12 years can't be given electroshock. But that's the only legislation that we have in all of Australia. So right throughout Australia, the question you ask, what can people do about it?
Yes.
Write to your MP, write to your MP, call your MP, go and tell them and say, listen, it's your responsibility. We want ECT banned under the legislation and, you know, and then make a noise about it and then something will be done. It's only when we make a noise about it
exactly.
that something gets done, right?
That's
right.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Look, a very important conversation,
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing, Kim. All the best to you, your team, your family. Stay safe. We'll yarn soon to a very important space you're working at, and glad that we can have this conversation on National Radio, Indigenous Radio. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Trev.
Take care, Dale. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, mate. Bye.
Adelie Yande, Kim Cullen, her name is Executive Director of Citizens Commission on Human Rights Victoria, and talking about the abuse of children continues without criminal penalty under the Victorian Mental Health Law. We need to fix that space up. And when you look at the Cruelty to Animal Acts, fines up to $45,000, 12 months imprisonment, but nothing like that for cruelty acts on our children. So go figure. Have you say, Yanup Song, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, right. City lights burn my eyes, I can't lie. Reminisce of back home where the starlight shine. Think of a place like mine, where I ease my mind. Right back on country, everything went fine. But in these concrete jungles where I lay my head, I feel blessed with where I am because I could be dead. I stay shooting for the stars but use a different kind of lead. With a different kind of bread, with some different kind of bread. I'm a young black king for my young black kin. Proud of this melanin up under my brown skin. And if we never win, as long as he went in, they say we live in sin, that's the words that they sing. I'm just waiting for the day that I'll be back home and my daughter's all grown, also she can be shown where her ancestors roam and the Gomeroi own and the Mihai flow, that's where I call home. I'm a long way from my country, it's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away from my country, it's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away, I'm a long way away. Said I'm a long way away, yeah, I'm a long way away.
I'm a long way away, but I still feel you in my spirit. You hear it in these lyrics, I ain't one for the gimmicks. I hold it down for my people, I'm hoping all of you feel it. I do this all for a healing, I never try to conceal it. I feel the wind across my arms, the heat on my face. I'm free like a dinner wine, they still trying to get a taste. I'ma stay forever calm, just don't get up in this space. If you do, then I'ma put you in your place. I'm a young black man, I'm Bijigul land. But these Gomeroi hands turn to brick, water, sand. I'ma do this for the fam, I don't think they understand. Everything will go was planned before we go back to the land.
I'm a long way from my country, it's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away from my country, it's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away, I'm a long way away. Said I'm a long way away, yeah, I'm a long way away.
Hey you mob, it's Curtis here from Apuna Pima. Did you know secondhand smoke is when you're in a room breathing in smoke from someone else's cigarette? This can make people who are around the smokers sick. Make your home smoke-free to protect your family. For support, call Quitline 13 78 48. The calls are free. Or talk to us at Apuna Pima Cape York Health Council. And remember, our health in our hands.
Station sponsor.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Perfect.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Normie J there, 40 Tribes of Bacolman, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We've got someone online, my brother. Good morning.
Good morning again, brother. Yeah, I'm going to be channeling Brother Chris Graham, Miglu, Chris Graham. Mm. But before I say that, thank you, brother. I love what you said there about the death in custody is a pandemic, and not just death in custody, but on my community at Palm Island, we had 50 deaths in 1 year, brother.
Yeah.
On Chris Graham, you know, he said that one of the ways to fight racism is to mirror back people's own hypocrisy and double standard, brother.
Yeah.
You know, we continuously hear this us and them about us being white fellas and them black fellas, brother. And we hear it on our community. I'm going to say who called, you know, about as parents and young people, brother. It seems like their crime, white crime, is more civilized than black fellas, you know, like...
One rule for one, different rule for another is what you're saying.
Two ago, they had those, as white fellas, they had those two little 10-year-old little Venables, and they killed a little 2-year-old on a railway track. There's a 16-year-old that killed a Japanese lady that we'd have been murdered here in Cairns. And schoolies, all them school kids down there, schoolies, that they have chaperone, they're politicians' children, they're bullying the policemen's children, they're public servants' children. What about to do, children? But they're going to be chaperoned. A journalist, Mike Coleman, his daughter fell to her death from an I-rise building. And there are young people here, the Northside Brisbane crime gang, youth gang, they make their kids look like kindergarten kids. Mm. On kids in the psychological trauma they go with and all that kind of stuff. I watched Paul Murray, I think about a week ago, and he was in there talking about coronavirus and children, you know, like mainly, well, you can say mainstream children, psychologically and mentally, you know, it affects them, being home, being a lockdown.
Yep.
Is humanity come out of that? But when it comes to our kids like Dylan Baller and all them kids in detention, now they've rubbished them and, you know, their humanity really shows towards them, and they have the same sort of trauma that kids in lockdown that are because of this COVID trauma, brother.
Yes.
And brother, in jail, I want to say this. They finally, about a month ago, maybe more, they finally tried Andy Albury for the white Christmas, especially. Look up that bloke, Andy Albury. You know, he was the fellow that said he killed that brother Kelvin Conven had done time over. He's the fellow, and he's called the Darwin Hannibal Lecter, and even detectives were frightened of him. But they finally charged him.
Hmm.
And one of the reasons, you know, like people ask, well, I had all this evidence, and they knew Kelvin was, he got available. Why didn't they let him go a long time ago? Well, at that time, at the same time, the Fitzgerald inquiries started, and Phil Dickey's Four Corners, the Moonlight State, and it showed that the police were corrupt down in Brisbane. And because they verbaled him, and because he was in the watch house when the thing happened, they couldn't go back on their word, because that'll make them look stupid, that even coppers, not just in Brisbane, alone, that are corrupt. And when they're going about us, black crime, black holes in jail and Ark, don't forget the bully man called Dylan. He was a proper policeman. He served in the Queensland Police. And because of a bottle of Chardonnay, I think they tried to blackmail him. And he wrote a book on a code of silence. And some of the evidence, or his whistleblowing, helped get, Joe Bjelke Petersen government undone. And he helped jail Terry Lewis. And brother, one of the up-and-coming fellows to fill in for Joe Bjelke Petersen, his name was Keith White, but he got charged for pedophilia. I think he was in Vietnam playing around with little boys. And when they went on rubbish, Blackwell's brother, thank you, brother Chris Graham, I like what you said, brother, if you're listening.
Yep.
We're going to use, this is our platform, brother. You want to hear this like the nerd.
Exactly.
Your co-host say, you know, you want to hear this on it. You want to hear this on but what the call of the rubbishing parents and rubbishing kids, you get them on the other radio, you get them on 4T, but I want you to know that you're going to get pushback, you know, when are you going to just, you know, and when they say, like Edmonton, Skeleton Creek, and they talk about all those massacres and all the stuff, that was a white fella before, and they want us not to paint them all the same, yet when it comes to stuff here, they paint us all the same, brother. Thank you very much, brother, for my little...
Thank you, Selwyn. Too deadly. Yep, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Selwyn. It's about one rule for one, and different rule for another. And the other thing is we're not tarnished with the same brush. So, yeah, good point. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, but it's come to the time where Murray got to sign off. I thank you very much for your company, your mob. We're back in the hot seat again next week, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Monday to Friday, 1 hour program, and here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, like I said, a voice for our people, but all look open for anybody to come and join us here on Conversations and Yarns. That's what it's all about. You could say a bridge builder, so there it is, an educator, all the above. But otherwise, your mob, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, more importantly, stay safe.